Today we are in week three of making change. And one of the reasons why we're doing this sermon series is, let's see it, we are asking God to help us make significant changes in the way we manage the resources that He has entrusted to us so that together we can experience the everything. Can you say that together? Everything. The everything of life that God intends. And God does intend an everything, a fullness for every single person. And so we're doing that in a 4-week series, which goes like this. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. So 3 weeks ago when we started this off, we started off with less than more, with the main verse being this, which is, better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. The idea behind that is we need to get rid of the excess stuff in our life that is taking up space or not allowing us to move with freedom to the things that God is calling us to, because if our hands are full, then there's no room for anything extra. And to be careful of the things we're actually picking up. That's why it says, in a chasing after the wind. What are the things that we're actually picking up that we're filling our life with? And is it the good things? Is it the right things? Are they bringing peace and tranquility? Or are they causing unrest and stress? And so that was three weeks ago. And then last week, Steve Bradley from Life 100 was here. He brought his motorcycle in and he was... This is the biggest financial mistake I've ever made in my entire life. And he talked about that stress is bad. And when we make poor financial decisions, then that can actually place havoc on our marriages, on our work life, on our relationships, because all we can think about is how are we going to get over this money problem. And the cool thing is when you decide to actually surrender your finances to God, then God just comes and does what God does. He provides people to help you work it all together. He gives you a different way in your mind to think about things. And so the debt that once seemed so overwhelming, when we hand it over to God, then He makes it right. He helps us. Yes, the borrower is servant to the lender. Because this, nobody ever got really excited about paying off their monthly credit card debt. All right, and then this week, which I'm so excited about, is giving is good. And what's exciting about this passage, or the message today, my mom called me this morning at about 10 after 7, and I was up, and she's like, are you on your way to the church yet? No. Are you speaking today? Yes. What are you speaking on? Giving is good. She's like, oh, that's good. I'm like, what's good about giving? She's like, it's just good for you. I was waiting for her to give me some ammunition for my sermon. Nothing. I was like, come on, because it's just such a part of who my mom is, that of course giving is good. Doesn't everybody know that giving is good? And so I was like, well, why do you say that giving is good? It's just good. Because I was raised in a home where giving was good. It just became part of our DNA that if somebody needed money, then you would give towards it. That's just how it was. So I grew up with that mentality that giving is good, but just because you grew up with something doesn't mean that you actually get it. All right? I'm going to say that again. Just because you grew up with something doesn't mean that you actually get it. It actually becomes just part of what you do rather than part of what you know and you get. And so the verse I want to look at in particular this morning is, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And the most interesting part about this message, this passage, is this. Like, Jesus didn't say that. That's what I got out of the verse, okay? Not the truth in the verse, but the fact that as I read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I didn't see anywhere that Jesus actually said that. So I was actually more concerned that the author of Acts was getting it wrong than I was about the truth, which is sometimes what can happen, is we get so caught up in the mechanics of the truth that we actually miss out on what the truth is. And so I did my research, and as Paul said this, you'll know that several times Paul said, I've had my encounters with Jesus. Jesus taught me. He called me to be an apostle. So it's quite possible that in Paul's time with the Lord, that Jesus very well could have said that. If you also read at the end of the book of John, he says, if we were to fill the ocean and the sky with all the things that the Lord said, that would still not be enough room. So it's quite possible and probable that Jesus, when he said this, was just one of those things that he probably said so much that nobody actually wrote it down. It just became part of what they knew. That it was indeed more blessed to give than to receive. So after I got over the mechanics, I actually started asking the Lord what the truth was in this, because I'm thinking the giver is happier than the getter. Is this legit? Like, really? And so I actually had to go and think through, is it really a bigger blessing to give than receive? Because like I said, I had grown up in a home that giving was just something that you did. So we just did it, right? It's just who we are. But I don't know if I really got it in my heart why we did it. And so that's what I want to unpack this morning, is why we give. I don't want it just to be a habit of something that we do. I want it to be something that we're genuinely excited about giving. Like, so the first thing, I have, I think, five reasons. The first is, when we give, we are blessed. In the book of Proverbs alone, there are over 100 financial tips on how to do your finances well. 100 in the book of Proverbs, which is just a wee little book, 30 chapters long, just one-liners to help us with our finances. And that isn't even, like, including everything else in the Bible about money. But when you read it, if we were to follow what the Bible actually says about finances, then we would be blessed. I love this passage from Proverbs. Now, this is the message. It says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are helped. I love that idea that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. So the more that we give, our world just becomes bigger and bigger, and it just produces such joy in us. And I don't know about you, but I want more joy. I want more joy. And so when we give, there's just something about when we give and that look on the face when you get it right. And this past year, my little cousin William, he turned 10, and he loves everything to do with outside. Like, I showed him a picture, and I said, do you know what kind of bird this is? He's like, yep, it's a starling. Like, just, what kind of bird is this? Named it. And so I got him a tracking book, like where you see all the tracks. And you can name the track and put it with the animal. And so he unwrapped it, and he comes running into the room, and he's like, Aunt Jen, I love it! And I was like, yes, I got it right. And the thing is, that brought me so much joy to see his face. And I'm like, okay, when we are generous, we truly are blessed. When we give good gifts out of a heart to make others happy, because that's usually why you give a gift, right? Is because you want to bless that person. And so I was so encouraged. So he's not going to listen to this. For Christmas, I got him a poop tracking book, you know, where you can see, like, the picture of the poop, and then you can put it with the animal. And I'm just so excited to be there when he unwraps it, because I know he'll be equally excited about the poop book. Because he was really excited about the tracking book, so I'm just like, I think I nailed this one too. But this idea that when we give, we are blessed because of the joy, right? The joy that comes from the giving. So secondly, when we give, our faith grows, because fear zips up our wallets. Giving as God asks reflects our growing trust in God to provide everything that we need. It's true. Like, fear literally will zip up my wallet because I'm afraid to give. And yet when you read these two stories, so the widow of Zarephath goes like this. There was a famine. The prophet Elijah had been very nicely taken care of by ravens bringing him food. You'd probably think that if God could cause the ravens to bring him food, he probably could have continued that on, right? It makes sense. So this was what God said to Elijah. He's like, that was good, but now I need you to go and help someone else trust me, is the Jen paraphrased version. He says, I want you to go to the town of Zarephath. You'll see a widow there. Ask her for a meal. And so Elijah goes, and he sees this widow, and he says, would you give me a cup of water? And she says, yes. And then he said, would you also give me some food? And she said, oh, sir, this last gathering of firewood and going to the well, that's it, because we have no food. This meal is all we have. And Elijah said to me, if you feed me first, you will always have food. Could you imagine? Okay, moms, put your mom hat on. Stranger, coming to your door, you have zero food, only for you and your child, who might be crying and whining because they're really hungry. And the stranger says, if you feed me first, you will always have food. Seems a bit strange, doesn't it? This is what the widow said. Okay. And she fed Elijah food. And she would never, from that point on till the drought ended, was without food. She trusted God. And sometimes God calls us to that kind of extravagant faith where we just, all we have is in our hand, and then God asks for it. And we're like, how is this going to accomplish anything? And that's the story with the fish and the loaves, which still gets me every time. Jesus preaching, 5,000 men. His disciples did the right thing. They said, Jesus, it's getting late. People are hungry, tired. They'd listen better if they had some food. Send them away so they can get something. And Jesus is like, you feed them. And so basically they found a little boy with some fish and some loaves. And they said, this is all we could find. And Jesus is like, give it to me. Jesus took it, blessed it, and then handed it back to his disciples, who then took it, broke it, and fed 5,000 people. When we give Jesus the thing that is in our hand, he takes it, and he blesses it beyond whatever we could imagine or hope that that little bit could ever accomplish. That's why when we give, our faith grows. We trust God with that little bit. I am constantly amazed that when we give, God stretches it the way he does and just causes so many really cool and amazing things to happen. So number three, when we give, we work with God. When we give to God's work, lives are changed, relationships are changed, homes are changed, communities are changed, and nations are changed. So I'm not sure if you ever really thought about when you put, when you give your offering on a Sunday morning or when you do it online, where that money goes or the effects that it has. But here's a little video to show you what happens. When we give, we work with God to do amazing things. Your faithfulness in giving allows us to turn on the lights. When I came in this morning, I didn't know how to turn the lights on. And Carl was like, it's dark in here. And I started thinking about, wow, could you imagine couldn't turn on the lights. Could you imagine if we didn't have, like, we actually cancel church when the power goes off. So I'm so blessed that our church gives, that we can have all sorts of cool things. Like, we have TVs in each one of the Sunday school rooms because you give. We're able to equip our Sunday school teachers with good curriculum and our youth with good curriculum because you give. Like, I love that image of the offering plate. Like, because all we see is money going in. We often don't see what comes out. But as I watched that video, I was so inspired about why we give. And then number four says this. When we give, we can tell other people about God. There's nothing like going into H&R Block and having them do your taxes, and they get down to charitable givings, and they're like, wow, you give a lot. And I'm like, uh-huh. And it's such this wonderful opportunity to share with the person about who Jesus is, and that we get this opportunity to give. And so when we give, we get to tell other people, because the way you give witnesses to the, and I did that on purpose, the God that you serve. when you look at your checkbook, when you go online and you see your credit card statement or your banking statement, if you're to categorize what you give to, what would you see? Like, do you give more to Apple than you do to Jesus? I was challenged on that. I'm not a big Apple person, but I have an iPhone. And in the day, it was like a nice iPhone, but 3 years later, it's out and I'll wait till the next mine dies. But that's, it got me thinking, like, if somebody was to look at my bank statement, who would they say that I serve? Would they say I serve Jesus, or would they say that I serve myself? Now, I recognize we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to pay bills, but, like, with the negotiable funds, what is that going towards? So I was challenged in that. What do our finances witness? And so when we give, we actually have this wonderful opportunity to tell people about Jesus. I was behind a young man in a grocery store, and I could just tell that he was a student because he had a whole lot of $1 items. And so as he went through, I just said, I'll take care of it for him. And he's like, really? I said, I have this feeling you should spend that money on something else. He's like, I can. Like, and he was so, like, blessed because he could spend that money somewhere else. And so often, I love it when I get to go to restaurants and I just see a family and you know that they're struggling. But sometimes our night at the restaurant for a family is like a blessing, right? And so I could just tell. And so when I went up to pay, I just said, I'll take care of that one too. Because there's just something about being able to bless. And when people say, well, why? And you can say, because God loves them. And he wants to bless them. And it's such this opportunity to say, I want to use the money that God has given me to tell other people about him. So that people will know how much he loves them. And number five is when we give, God smiles. And I've never really thought about this, but it's so true, because this passage, which I say all the time, each of you should give in your heart what you've decided to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so when we give cheerfully, God is excited and happy about that, and he smiles. And I don't know about you, but I like it when my mom smiles about something that I've done. Like, there's just so much joy that comes from that. So when we give, God is like, yes, they get it. And he's excited. And I want to make God excited. I want to make him happy about what he's given to me, and then I'm giving back. And I want that for our church family too, that we would be a church that makes God smile by the way that we give, because we give cheerfully. So the question then is, if giving is good, oh yeah, so this is our verse. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is really more blessed to give than it is to receive. So the giver is genuinely happier than the getter. I know that's really poor grammar, but it's true. The giver is more happier. And the times where I have given because I wanted to give, like, I have been so blessed. I enjoy getting things. I do. I was handed a bag of M&Ms today, and I'm like, yes, because I just had my last M&M from Christmas this week. So I stretch things out because I need them to last. And so then I was handed this one, and I even thought, do I text the person who gave me that bag of M&Ms to say, just so you know, I just had the last one because she gave them to me at Christmas. And I'm like, no, no. And then a whole bag. I'm so happy. So I like receiving things too, but it is also really good to give. Next. If giving is good, so why don't we give? Or why don't we give more? And I have about four reasons here. First is, we're struggling. We're just struggling financially, so we can't even begin to imagine. On Monday night, we had our financial class. It was great. My take home was name every dollar. Like, name every dollar. So don't just spend willy-nilly because you can, but actually name every dollar, which was challenging to me. So I actually got my paycheck this week and named every dollar, and there was such freedom in that. Secondly, we have seen this message abused. And we have seen this message of oops. You give $100 and you're going to get, like, it all back. I'm not really sure God works that way, but we've all seen Normally it's people on TV, and there's always this pitch for money. And every time that pitch for money comes on, I literally get like sick on the inside because it makes my job really hard. Because we get these messages all the time online, and I'm like, really? So anyways, next. We have a scarcity mindset instead of an abundant mindset. We forget that when we are in Christ, we are in Christ. So my God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And so we actually have to change our way of thinking. Because scarcity basically means I won't have enough. If I give to this, I won't have enough for that or that or that. And so we actually need to ask Jesus to change that. And fourthly, we're just selfish. We're just selfish. I don't want to give. I want that new shirt. I want that purse. I want the nice leather on the car. I want this trip. I want this, right? So we're selfish. The funny part is when I did some research about why people don't give, that wasn't on the list. I'm like, what, are you too, like, afraid of making it real? We're selfish. That's why we don't give. Anyways, next. So if giving is good, why or how do we grow in generosity? The first thing is confess and repent of any previous mindsets to create space for a new way of thinking. If you have some stinking thinking going on in your head with regards to money, ask God to change it. And he will. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to you. So just ask God to change the way you think. It's from I have to give to I get to give. Isn't that a wonderful statement? I get to give. This is so exciting. What's going to happen? Versus like, here's my money. Here you go. Right? Asking God to change the way that we think from I have to I get to. So first, believe that God will help you. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So believe that God can help you be generous. That's the first step. Some of you are going to say, I thought tithing was the first step. No, that's the second step. Okay? We actually have to believe that God can help us give. The second thing really is tithing. That's the first place to start. We need to trust God with the tithe. Now, tithe is a Hebrew word that looks like this, maser, which means one-tenth. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The first part. And as I did study on this, when we give God the first part, it's like we're trusting him to make the ends meet. I'm giving you my first and my best because that's what you said to do. So you're just going to have to make it all the math work out. God makes the math work out because he says this in Malachi. He says, bring the whole tithe. The whole tithe is 10%. Into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, that there would be teachers who teach Sunday school, that there will be a pastor who can encourage and train you up in the way of the Lord, so that there will be money for mission, so other people will come to know you, so that you will be fed and encouraged. That's the food in the storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, so that there'll be fun fall family fun nights where people can come and get connected. So there'll be a place with heat on so you can come and enjoy and learn about God. Oh, go back. Says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room even to store it. God says, test me in this. This is the only place in all of Scripture, because in the New Testament, we're actually told we are not to test God. So if God says, test me in this, this is the only place where he says, test me, and I'll prove you that I'm right. So are we willing? So I think we need to say, dear Lord Jesus, would you change the way that I'm thinking about giving? Would you help me be a cheerful giver? And would you help me to test you in this thing called tithing? I remember my first babysitting job that I had, I got $20. Because we used to get paid $2 an hour. I hear it's not quite that low anymore. And so I remember getting that $20, and the first thing my mom said was, are you going to tithe that tomorrow morning? And I was like, yes, because that was the expectation. And so I did. And I just remember always having enough, right from that very first $20 paycheck from babysitting. Always having enough. This is the only place where God says, test me. And you may need to rearrange, keep going, Bob, to rearrange your life in order to put God first. You might need to rearrange your life in order to put God first in your finances. And we already put God first. We was Sunday mornings, first day of the week, first thing we do. What do? We come to church. So we already set apart the first part of our week. At the beginning of the year, we set apart the first full week so for prayer and fasting so we can seek God. So we're already doing some of these things of putting God first. So we need to be putting God first here because this will take great faith. But when we trust God with our first and our best, God will always pass the test. Always. He has never, anyone that I've ever known who has tithed faithfully always comes up to me after the message and says, do I have a story for you? Let me tell you about what God asked me about tithing. I've had one lady say, I was really down on funds and God actually asked me to give more. And you're like, what? That's crazy. And you know what? God totally met her need and beyond. When we put God first in our finances and we trust him, he always meets our needs. Next. So third thing is plan and execute generosity. Be generous people. Plan to do what is generous and they will stand firm in their generosity. So plan to be generous and then do it. I purposely chose to live in the house, the condo that I live in, so that I could be generous. I remember having a conversation with a friend that I said, I want to be able to give to this, 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 and this. So that means this is how much I can spend on a mortgage payment. And then I looked for a house. Because it's so important to plan to be generous. Because I value the kingdom of God and God doing amazing things in the ministries here and beyond. And I wanted to continue to give to that. So I looked at what my budget was and I made the appropriate changes to where I could live. Because I knew how much I wanted to pay out every month. And so we need to plan to be generous. One lady, she actually budgeted a giving line. So she would put money in her pocket. And then she would say, God, what would you have me do with this money? And sometimes she'd be at a grocery store. Sometimes she'd be at a restaurant. Sometimes it would be a child who needed a coat. And she would just pull out that money and say, let me take care of it. She got excited about it. She actually kept a journal of how God just unleashed generosity in her life because she planned to be generous. And isn't that an amazing story of how people were blessed when we just choose to be generous? I love it. So next, when you give, you will be a blessing. When you give, you will be blessed. We just need to declare that generous is who we are and then walk in that. So I've asked Matilda, Landon talked about being a part of a small group, and as I was at small group last Sunday night, Matilda just started talking about giving, and I looked at her, you're like, I'm never being in Pastor Jen's small group ever. So I looked at her, and I said, would you share that next Sunday? And she was like, okay. So this is Matilda, and her husband is Chuba, and they look after communion every month. So if you wonder, how does that get out there? That's how it gets out there. So I asked if she would share her giving story today. So everybody say, hi, Matilda.
Good morning. Thanks, Pastor Jen. So first, when you asked me to speak on generosity, I was like, And then I thought to myself, I have to share because it's good to share, right? And then we are very blessed to have a pastor like Pastor Jen who cares about that and our church and our community. So it's nice to be able to give back. And my story is, we all have a story to share. And I've been in Canada for 29 years. I came from Romania. We grew up in communism with no privileges like we have it here. So then I decided when I came to Canada that I'm going to help whoever I can. And I've been able to. And then sometimes I had no money and I would get a phone call that somebody needs $100 or $200, $300 for medication or whatever they needed for. And I was thinking, wow, God, what am I going to do? I'm going to send it. So it is what it is. So I did. And then the blessings that we receive, but we don't give to get, but it's so nice to be able to help others. And then right now I go to Western Union. I have many widows I send money to because they have no medication or whatever. And I have a big list, and the lady knows me, says, oh, who's the lucky? I go after church, usually on Sundays. So who's the lucky person that is receiving today? So I'm like, oh, so-and-so. Oh, that's so nice. And I'm like, yeah, church was good today. And I've been trying to talk to her about God, and she listens and she smiles. And but I've been blessed, like, with health, with wisdom, with good job, with, like, a nice husband, with beautiful children, with a great mother, with great friends, sister, church community, good pastor. Like, why wouldn't I be giving? Like, really, like, and we have so much to give. We have so much to give. And then if you could give money, it's wonderful. But sometimes you could just give a smile or your time or encouragement. Like, I'm a dental hygienist and I work in Finch area, Jane and Shepherd. And I've been driving there, like, I'm part-time there 2 days a week, and I've been driving for years, and the drive is bad, and I'm thinking, God, why am I driving here? Like, I got so many full-time opportunities in Barrie. But then I remember, like, I encouraged 14 people went back to college because of my encouragement. And they were mothers, they were bringing their children, they were on welfare, they were, like, sad, depressed, and like, why don't you just go back to school? Just, I can't even read. I'm like, yeah, I came to Canada, I couldn't even speak English. And look at me, like, you could do it. If I couldn't speak English, you could do it. You speak English. Go. So then, a year later, at one time, I remember one of them came and was looking for me, and I never recognized the person. I'm like, hi, can I help you? She says, yeah, it's me, Violet. Remember, I went to college. I'm moving out from this community. I'm bringing my children with me. And she was so excited. She gave me a hug. I'm like, oh, my goodness. She says, to me, girl, you're such a blessing to everybody. I'm like, I know, because God is blessing me beyond even my, like, anytime I give, I always receive such a blessing, and I'm so happy to give. Like, honestly, giving is just, it's a powerful thing, and we should all be giving, and not give to the extent that, you know, you put yourself in debt, but there's so much always to give.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Giving is good. And as Matilda said, there's always a blessing. When she gives, she is blessed in return. And we can't really say how it's going to happen. It just does. We have to be willing to step out in faith and give as God asks us to give, when He asks us to give, how He asks us to give, and trust that He's just going to do the rest. And that's what it means when we put our hand in the hand with God and just say, God, whatever it is, I'm going to trust You. Because You said, test You with my money, with the money You give to me, and You're just going to make it work. And so we're going to trust God. And so we need to remember that it really is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I want you to think about these three things. Three things. First thing is this. Are you experiencing joy when you give? Because if you're not, ask the Lord. Why am I not experiencing joy? Ask Him. And then wait and listen for an answer. The second thing is this. Is there a mindset regarding giving that needs to change? Is there a mindset? Oh, I won't have enough. I won't have enough. I can't. Well, I want to do this and I want to do that. Is there a mindset that needs to change? Third thing is, what step could you take today to be more generous? Because we can all be more generous. How is the question? And I love, I don't know if you've been reading through the Finding Your Financial Path, the devotion that is on the Bible app, YouVersion. But Dave Ramsey said this. He said, if you want to get excited about giving, get to know Jesus. As you get to know Him, we grow in love for Him. Instead of giving on a whim or because we feel we have to, we find ourselves thinking about what would make God happy. And when we picture His excited response, we become giddy about giving our gift. Isn't that exciting? I want to make God happy with our giving. I think that delights the Lord. And so we're going to pray and we're going to ask God, is there a mindset that needs to switch? If we're not feeling generous, then, Lord, would You help us just to be generous? I'm actually going to give you everybody's going to close their eyes and bow their heads. But if that's you this morning, when I say something like, help me to be more generous, if that's you, then I want you to raise your hand. And you're just going to declare to the Lord that's me. Or if I say something else and it applies to you, then you raise your hand. And then I'll pray for you because I believe this is one of the biggest things that holds me, us back as people of God, is our finances, because we need Him to do some work in our minds. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we come before You. We come before You, God, who loves us so much that sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we could experience a full and abundant life. You gave everything. And so, Lord, forgive me for feeling so stingy and selfish. And Lord, would You transform my heart today that I truly would be a cheerful giver? If that's you and you want your heart to be transformed, you raise your hand and I'll pray for you. So Father God, You've seen the hands that I've raised that said, I want to be transformed. I want to be a cheerful giver. So God, would You move in their hearts? Would You help them to be a cheerful giver? Would You give them joy in those areas that they're struggling with? If it's a mindset, would You break the power of that mindset in the name of Jesus? The lie that says you will not have enough. If that's you and you want to be that lie broken in your mind today, then you raise your hand and I'll pray for it. If you have a scarcity mindset, I simply won't have enough, and you want that broken today. Dear Lord Jesus, You see the hands that I've raised. That lie that they're believing, that I won't have enough. In the power of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, we ask now that Your Holy Spirit would come and break the power of that lie in the name of Jesus, and You would pull Your people out from underneath it. And Lord God, that the enemy who has that lying spirit on that person that says, you won't have enough, you won't have enough, would You break the power of that lie? Would You silence the enemy? And Lord God, that You now, Holy Spirit, would come and put Your truth in them that says that You will be blessed when You give, that You will have enough. My God will meet all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Those who are faithful in a little will be faithful in much, because Your Holy Spirit helps. And so, Lord God, would You come now and just fill those people who said, God, break the power of the mindset. Fill them with Your Holy Spirit, pushing out every aspect of that lie. And would You help them to take every thought captive and surrender it to You? So every time that lie wants to come in, would You just remind them of what Your truth is? That we are not to set our mind on things below, but to set them on things above, because we have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And if our God is so good, then He will more than meet our needs. So would You help us to walk in that truth today? And so, Father, as we respond, some of us might need to come forward for various things. Maybe it has to do with the message. Maybe there's a sick person at home. Maybe there's struggles at work. But God, would You help us just to come forward and lay them at the prayer rail? Because You said, call to Me, and I will answer, and I will tell You great and unsearchable things that You did not know. But You said, we got to tell You. So would You help us to tell You what's on our hearts this morning so that we can experience Your presence with us? And I ask this in Your name. Amen.